Clyde Prestowitz, the one-time senior counselor in Ronald Reagan's Commerce Department, who thereafter went on to found and head Washington's Economic Strategy Institute for 2 decades, summed up, "America needs to recognize that many of the assumptions guiding its economic policy are at odds with the realities of today's global economy. Its performance in a broad range of areas, including saving, education, energy and water conservation, critical infrastructure and workforce upskilling, is far below the standard of many other nations. America needs to understand that its refusal to have a broad competitiveness policy is, in fact, a policy. And it gives leading U.S. CEOs no choice but to play into the strategies of other countries. This policy, according to its proponents, leaves decisions to the unseen hand of the market. Actually, however, it leaves them to the highly visible hands of lobbyists and foreign policymakers. It is a policy that ultimately leads to impoverishment. What kind of politics or crisis could overcome the combination of Bush administration strategic neglect, Washington interest group entrenchment, and parochial Republican constituency pressures? No one quite knew. Cultural and political fundamentalism, the theology of U.S. domestic and foreign policy. In summing up the Republican theology of tax cutting as an item of faith, not logic, former Republican Commerce Secretary Peter Peterson identified a pervasive weakness. Much of what the Republican Party stood for had become based on faith, not reason. And this across a spectrum that ranged from domestic economics, science, and constitutional jurisprudence to souring relationships with Europe and the United Nations, and preemptive war-making in the Holy Lands of the Middle East. As we have seen, the strong religious imprint on foreign policy came from the broad ranks of fundamentalist, evangelical, and Pentecostal Protestants, many of whom believed in Armageddon and represented, along with a smaller, like-minded Catholic minority, something like 25% to 30% of the U.S. population and 50% to 60% of the George W. Bush electoral coalition. Their commitment to making U.S. foreign policy implement a biblical worldview jumps out in the evangelical response to a mid-2004 survey taken by the Pew Research Center, portions of which queried the interaction between religion and foreign policy. As overall public support for the invasion of Iraq declined, evangelicals became the mainstay of minority backing for the occupation and for the larger doctrine of preemptive invasions. Most of them, in all likelihood, were guided by what House Majority Leader Tom DeLay termed in his own case a biblical worldview. While the Pew Center survey did not include an Armageddon question in its poll, one taken for Newsweek in 1999 had found 45% of U.S. Christians expecting Armageddon, including 71% of evangelicals, but only 28% of mainline Protestants and 18% of Catholics. About the same percentages believed that the Antichrist was already on the earth, adding to the sense of immediacy. Support for Israel is another part of this biblical worldview. In mid-2003, after the U.S. invasion of Iraq, another survey taken for the Pew Center found 63% of white evangelical Protestants calling the State of Israel a fulfillment of the biblical prophecy of the second coming of Jesus, whereas only 21% of mainline Protestants did so. We can fairly assume a large constituency overlap among 1. Putting a top priority on following religious principles in foreign policy, 2. Adhering to a Bible-centered worldview, and 3. Favoring U.S. military intervention in the Middle East to promote the fulfillment of end times prophecy and the second coming of Christ. To be sure, few media poll takers chose to cut too close to the bone of U.S. Christian belief by displaying the religiosity in the cross tabulations. Politically, however, one is hard put to think of an interrelationship with greater relevance. Religion has been the principal denominator of the aggressiveness of the GOP rank and file in the Middle East. Because of the makeup of the Bush electorate, religion, probably more than anything else, shaped the biblical good versus evil rap thrown around September 11th, as well as the related deliberate merging of the terrorist crisis with a targeting of Saddam Hussein's New Babylon regime in Iraq. Furthermore, throughout much of 2002 and 2003, the administration's commingling of theology and anti-terrorism shaped a climate in which George W. Bush enjoyed job approval in the 65% to 70% range. This strength, in turn, allowed him to prevail in Congress on different issues, principally economic, where he might otherwise have been stymied. By 2005, Bush's broad job approval had dissipated, but the biblical and evangelical influence over American foreign policy remained in place. It was visible not only in the Middle East, but in the extraordinary, conjoined global posture of the United States on a half dozen other fronts. One was the so-called Mexico City policy of denying U.S. financial assistance, through funding by the Agency for International Development or the State Department, to any international organizations extending support to abortion, even if the activity objected to had non-U.S. funding.